Hi, I'm Mel Pearson from the Michigan Tech hockey team, and you're listening to the voice of the Huskies, Mix 93.
Go Huskies.
It's time now for the Mel Pearson Show on Mix 93.
And a second opportunity out, 3-on-1 for the Huskies. Johnson across, Johnson in front, score! And the Huskies start back 2-on-1, shorthanded. It's Pianola with Rich. Rich looks, shoots, scores! Dennis Rich with a great shot on the short side.
The Mel Pearson Show is sponsored by the Wickley Agency in downtown Hancock, the Turvo Agency in Hancock, Superior Smiles in Hancock,
Kelly Jepson State Farm Agency, Houghton,
Peterlin Distributing of Calumet, the Michigan Tech Campus Bookstore and University Images on Michigan Tech's campus, the Library Restaurant and Brew Pub, downtown Houghton,
Lake County, and Gary Jorgensen of Diversified Financial Concepts in Houghton,
Habaneros, Quincy Street, Hancock, Gartner's Gallery, downtown Hancock, Coca-Cola of Hancock, and Bucko's Party Store in Calumet. And now, here's Mel Pearson and your host, Dirk Hembroff.
Hey, that's me. Thanks again for everybody for tuning in. The Mel Pearson Show here on a Monday, back to its regularly scheduled day and time. And we're glad to have Mel in our studio after a weekend of WCHA action at the John McGinnis Students Ice Arena. And I hope Coach is a little bit more rested than we all were last week on Tuesday after the big Alaska trip. But nice to be home and nice to get a couple of points. But overall, I'm feeling a little bit disappointed about the weekend, the results, and that I think we played much better than just getting two ties, Coach.
Well, no question about it, Dirk. You know, we're all disappointed, I think, you know, with the results. We're not disappointed with how we played. Right. We're disappointed in the end result. You always want more. If you're a competitor, you know, you expect more and you want more, especially when you're at home. But like I said, I can't fault or question the effort of our players. And, I, you know, we've been in that situation, or I have been many times, when a team comes back from Alaska. It's hard. I mean, you're still out of whack. Like, for example, I was up at 1 o'clock. I woke up at 1 o'clock three of the four nights during the week, you know, and I'm up till 3. And then you got to, you know, get ready for practice. So I know our guys had some issues with that, and they had to go to class. And I just want people to know how difficult it is. And the energy level, just to have the energy level and the emotion. And then, you know, it is physical, the jet lag and everything. Our guys played, you know, hard and played with energy, and we just didn't get the results we wanted. But I can't question the effort and the enthusiasm that they played with.
Did you think we played better Saturday night than even on Friday night? And I thought we played well Friday night.
We did. And I was, you know, much more, I guess, not as concerned going into Saturday's game. I thought we played, you know, Friday's game was the game that I really was nervous about, just because of all the reasons I gave previously, the travel, the trip. You know, it's easy just to emotionally not be there. And I thought at times we weren't we didn't execute as well. We weren't as sharp as we should have been on the weekend times, and you can attribute that to different things, but I thought we were real good on Saturday, you know, and at times in the game, you know, we just didn't let them get out of their zone. But I thought both games, when you look at it as a whole, we did not give up much, and that's still the key. We're not scoring, and our power play needs a lot of work, but defensively, our defense is keeping us in the games and giving us a chance to win every night. And like I told the team, as we go forward, as we get into, you know, February and March, and, you know, you get into playoffs, this is playoff hockey. And we're going to be well-schooled and well-tuned and ready to go, because we're playing in those games already. We have pretty much every game we played this year. It's been a tight, one-goal, close game. And we're learning how to play in those games, and we're learning how to play well defensively. And to me, that's real important.
You made a couple of changes in the lineup going into the games this weekend, but you kept the CJ Ike, Mike Neville, Alex Batan line, and they still, you kind of wait for them to kind of drop off a little bit. They didn't drop off after that great weekend up in Fairbanks.
Well, they did not, and obviously, you know, they had some, you know, chances on Friday night, you know, with CJ scoring and whatnot, and Mike Neville got the one waved off, but they were dangerous, all, you know, especially Friday, very dangerous. Alex had a couple chances, and then a couple misses, you know, and a couple odd man rushes, I know, late in the in the game in the third period on Friday. Alex Patan did everything right. He sort of slowed down coming to the offensive zone, let the middle guy drive the net, and opened up a seam for Shane Hanna, who joined the rush. And he just missed Shane by maybe a foot or 6 inches. If he would have got that pass, he would have walked in all alone, and I'm sure he would have scored. Yes. So, but no, they're dangerous. They enjoy playing with each other. You know, they're only going to get better. They're only going to continue to grow and get better as long as we leave them together.
Let's look at Friday night's game. Michigan Tech and Bemidji State battling for the first time this season, and no scoring in that first period. Yet we get 14 shots to Bemidji State's 5 shots. And we talked to Coach, Assistant Coach Damon Witten right after that first period, Coach, and he had a worried look on his face saying, if Bemidji State is able to hang around like this without us scoring, it could be really tough. And that's kind of what happened there in that second period.
Well, no question. I mean, the first period we were fortunate. We got 4 power plays, and I think that's why you see the separation of the difference in shots. You know, for example, they only had 6 attempted shots in the period where we had, you know, 20. Over,
I mean, that's
20.
Crazy.
Well,
six attempted shots,
I mean, let alone shots on goal.
Right.
So, but a lot of that was due to the power plays, and, you know, it gives us some momentum and got us going, but we didn't convert, and you're right. And that's probably Bemidji's game plan, is come in, keep the games close, hope for a break or a bounce here or there, and steal and win. And that's how they played all weekend. But, yeah, you're always concerned when you get that many power plays that when you don't score, because you know you're going to end up killing some of those penalties. You know, it evens itself out, and then you have to be able to kill penalties on the back end.
Corey Ward gets the first goal of the game at the 11:34 mark. It was Marinaccio getting the assist along with Harms. That was a power play goal where he just kind of found himself out in front of the net.
Yeah, he did. We killed penalties real well all weekend, actually, and against a team who had been pretty hot, not only scoring goals, but also on the power play. And we had a chance to clear the puck we had on the half wall, and we did not clear it. We, made a half. You know what, attempted to try to get it out, and they keep it in, and we had blown coverage. Things had broke down at that point, and the one guy you don't want the puck on their team is Corey Ward. Mm-hmm. You know, he's got 11 goals now, and he made no mistake on it, and it gave him the lead. And like we talked about, you know, how the penalties started evening themselves out, so they got a couple power plays there, and he finished.
Was this the one now where, I'm trying to remember it, where Brad Stebner had it, and he looked like he was kind of moving it up along the wall?
Well, I didn't want to mention a name.
Well, no,
Dirk.
But I'm not. No,
that's
I'm not
why I said one of our players.
Well, no, I'm not saying it's his fault. I'm saying that he was trying to bring it outside of the zone, and it looked like almost everybody else anticipated maybe a little bit too early that it for sure was going to get out, and it didn't.
It didn't. Sorry, Stebs. I tried to protect you there. But
See, I'm not blaming it on him.
you're right, and that's what happened. It looked like, you know, we had full possession. Mm-hmm. Looks like it was going to be easy, clear, and we like to be aggressive up ice on the penalty kill, so guys were already, you know, assuming leaving, it's going to get out, leaving the zone, and sure enough, whether they got a stick on it or we just didn't quite clear it as hard as we wanted to, they kept it in. And at that point, they were cheating on the offense, too. And,
right.
And they got the break and scored the goal.
But to me, it looked like Stebner really never had possession. He was kicking it
our
up the wall.
Our defenseman, yeah.
You know.
No, when you watch the tape back, he had pretty good possession.
He did, okay.
Of it, yeah. And that's where we always talk about that on the penalty killing, is when you have an opportunity to clear the puck, do it, because those second chances, if you give a team a second chance or let them keep it in, you usually get burned on it. It's just the nature of the game. Not 100% of the time, but a majority of the time, you know, they keep the puck in the zone, and you don't get off the ice. You have tired penalty killers. You have to remain out there. So we always want to make sure, if we have the opportunity to clear it on the PK, make sure you clear the puck. And we didn't at that point, and sure enough, it ends up in our net.
1-0 at that point. That came at the 11:34 mark of the second period.
Neville will take the draw for Michigan Tech. 1-0 Beavers here in the second. 7.5 remaining. Huskies win it back cleanly. Patan spins around but can't get the shot off. Hanna will hold it in. Nice job by Hanna to stop his flow and get it over for Stebner. He'll shoot it. Bouncing puck hit the post! Score! It hit the post and put in by the Huskies on the rebound.
Mike Neville gets credit for the goal. They go to the review. They say it's a kicked goal. I never got a good view of this goal. We were not allowed to see the replay on it. What were you told on that?
Well, I was told that the reason it took so long, and here's what they do on, just so, you know, I know we've talked about it before, but when a goal is scored and when there's any controversy, you still have to make it. The official on the ice has to make a call. So whether it's a goal or no goal. So at that point, you could see him pointing goal. So now you can go review it, and there has to be, obviously, you know, evidence that, that it's not a goal. Okay, so you have to make sure there's clear-cut evidence that is going to, you know, prove it wrong to overturn what your call is on the ice, whatever that might be. Now, it took a long time, and then my concern is always when it takes you that long, why is it taking you that long? If it's that, if you can't, if you're not sure and you've called it a goal, then you better make sure that, you know, that there's clear-cut evidence.